Very important to you. I think it'll be a blessing. I've been talking on the subject that we have no idea what's really inside of us, but I want to change that a little bit this morning. I want to talk about how valuable your soul is. Now, we are spirit, soul, and body, and it's very important that we know how valuable our soul is. Actually, the Bible says that we have a spirit, we are a soul, and we live in a body. And that's the way that the Word of God puts it. And so I think that's important. Let's go to Matthew 16 and verse 25 this morning as we get into this Word. Matthew 16 and verse 25. So we have a very interesting word here. We'll start there. Matthew 16, 25. For whosoever will save his life will lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now I want to say this again. What will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now that word lose there means damage or suffer loss in his soul. That's what that means. By losing it, it means not bringing that soul to the place where God wants it to be. In other words, receiving damage instead of blessing, suffer loss instead of gain. So we have that choice in our life. And so since God said we are a soul, that soul came from God. God breathed in our bodies a living soul, the Word of God says, in the book of Genesis. Now, how valuable is that soul? Well, if you owned a house that had an architect named Frank Lloyd Wright, it would be a valuable house just because of the architect. If you had a game program signed by Michael Jordan, it would be valuable because he signed it. If you had a painting that was by Rembrandt, it would be a valuable painting just because of the one that painted it. And so, whether we liked the painting or not, it wouldn't make any difference because it had his name on it. And I want you to know that God has his name on your soul. Whether you like yourself or not, God's name is at the bottom signed on your soul. So that in itself makes you valuable. He is your maker. God brought you on this earth. He is the one that determined before he ever created the world that you would be here. And you would be on planet Earth today in the United States in this place, seated on the pew in this church today. It was his plan. So God himself designed and created your soul for a purpose. And I'm going to explain what that purpose is in just a minute. Because anything other than this purpose is a distortion of the plan of God. Anything other than God's purpose is darkness instead of light, the Bible says. It's a distortion of what God created us to be. So he's our maker. He made us in his power. A perfect God designed your soul. It wasn't a God that was just any God, because people worship thousands of gods. It was a particular God, the God of the Bible, who the Bible says is holy, he is perfect, and he is complete. And therefore, he plans that you would be holy and perfect and complete just like he is, and anything else in your life is a distortion. I want you to keep that in mind. Now, therefore, since God has his signature on your soul is valuable. Your soul is who you are. Your soul is eternal. whether it ends up in heaven or hell, your soul is eternal. And it has God's signature on it. Now, the Bible says that God breathed into man and man became a living soul. So you are actually a spiritual being. Your soul is spiritual. You can't see it. It's inside of your body. You can't see your soul. Now I want to read this confession to you, and then I want us to repeat this three times, and I'm going to tell you why in just a moment. Okay, it is. I am a person of excellent worth because God, the creator of all things, is my maker. He designed me. He made me. He gave me life. I am precious. My soul is extremely valuable. So, I want you to repeat this after me. I am a person of excellent worth. Because God, the creator of all things, is my maker. He designed me. He made me. He gave me life. I am precious. And my soul is extremely valuable. I am a person of excellent worth. Because God, the creator of all things, is my maker. He designed me. He made me. He gave me life. I am precious. And my soul is extremely valuable. I am a person of excellent worth because God, the creator of all things, is my maker. He designed me. He made me. He gave me life. I am precious. My soul is extremely valuable. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you're going to think about that one for a while, because you not only said it one time, you said it three times. And I'm going to tell you some interesting things about yourself that you may not have realized this morning, because this is, I really believe, a word of the Lord. When we make a confession like that, we're confessing something that's inside of us. And so we know that our soul is inside of us. Also, truth confessed out loud is reinforced in the soul. When you confess something out loud, it is planted into your soul. I want you to keep that in mind. So basically, anything that comes out of your mouth, if it's repeated more than once, is going to be planted in your soul, whether it's good or bad. Now, the more we hear something, the deeper impression it makes. If you hear something over and over and over again, particularly if you say it, it's going to make an impression, not on your soul, but also in our brain. And I'm going to explain that in a minute. Would you ever wonder why they keep repeating the same commercials over and over and over and over again? And we watch them over and over and over and over again. And sometimes if they have a little song with them, you could sing the song. Because that thing has been impressed in your brain because you kept hearing it, you kept hearing it, you kept seeing it, and all of that. And the more we hear something, the deeper impression upon ourselves and upon our minds, upon our brains. Now, that's why it is. Now, I'm going to show you how your brain works with this beautiful painting signed by me. It looks like kindergarten, actually, but this is a tree. Can everybody see the tree? All right. That's what that's supposed to be. And we have these in our brain. They're called receptors. Now, I want you to know how this works, because if you know how this works, you can change things in your life. That's the issue that I want you to know. Now, these little receptors are very interesting because we have hundreds of them. And they aren't that big, of course, but they're similar to this. And we have hundreds of them in the frontal lobe of our brain. Every one of you do. Each receptor is like a little tree with branches and leaves on it in your brain. These receptors can record and keep, each one of them, 200,000 memories or events. Each one of them. And you have hundreds of them. Now, I want you to listen carefully to what I'm going to say. We have enough receptors and enough memory that if we lived for 300 million years, you would not fill up all the receptors in your brain. It is the most amazing thing that God ever created in the physical body, because it can constantly record, constantly take in things into our life. Now, this is why it's very important that we read Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I want you to go to that, and I want to show you what this says, because there's a reason that it says what it says. Now, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. And this says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the reason you can, because what you speak into your mind and what you take into your mind is going to be recorded and can change your life. Because what your mind takes in, it speaks to your body. Now, I want you to remember this, as well as your soul, it speaks to your whole being. But basically, the brain particularly controls things in your body. Now, I want you to keep that in mind. Now, this is why all of us can do things in Christ as He strengthens us. It's possible that He can do that. Now, so what that means is every one of us has a potential beyond anything we could imagine, not only in this life, but also the next one. And the Bible, Jesus was constantly talking about the kingdom of God, which is coming. So what He says is, prepare for the kingdom of God. Now, if you're going to prepare for the kingdom of God, I'm going to tell you some of the ways to do that, because there's hope for every single one of us. Now, I'm going to tell you why you were created. Because this will be the most important thing probably you hear in your entire life. Why you were created. You were created to love God. You were created to receive His love. And you were created to give His love out to other people. Those three things. One for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Spirit. You were created to love God, to receive His love, and to give it out to other people. Anything else is a distortion of your being and your life. In other words, it is something that God didn't create. It's a distortion. What the enemy tries to do is just the opposite. Be angry with people, hate people, be unforgiving to people, and all of these things. That's the darkness, that's the devil. With Christ, love, love, and love. We were created to love. We were created to be loved. And I know the minute I say that, memories go back instantly, because you got them in those trees in your brain. It'll take you to some incident where somebody hurt you. But that is not why you were created. You were created to love God. Very simply because The Word of God says God is what? God is love. He can't create in any other way but love, because He is love. Now, you may not have experienced it yet, but you can. Let's look in 1 John, not John, 1 John. I'm going to tell you some pretty interesting things here today, so just hang on. And it didn't come from me, I'll guarantee you. Okay, I don't take credit for anything. 1 John 4 and verse 7. That's what I'm going to tell you in the scriptures where it said what I just said. 1 John 4 and verse 7. You need to underline these or put a big circle or star. Behold, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knoweth not God. For God is what?
Love.
God is what?
Love.
There it is, right there. For God is love. In other words, the furthest you are from love, the more distorted your life is. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation or sacrifice for our sins. How do we know God loves us? Because He sent His own Son to die on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago, and everybody that looks upon the Son of God shall find love. Yeah. So we must receive what Christ is. We must receive Him, and you receive love. When you receive Jesus, you receive love into your life. Now, through Christ, we can plant good things into the trees of our brain and our life. Now, the good things are represented by the green limbs and so on here. And whenever you create something of love, something green is added into your, that's life, represents life, represents God's life. It begins to create, and it just keeps branching and keep creating, and you become creative in love in your life when you receive Christ, and the process begins. And here's the issue. If you have the love of God in your life, it's going to affect your health, your relationships in life. It's going to affect everything. Because everything your brain takes in is going to affect your life. So there's a whole lot of things to this, and I'm going to get into it more. But the Bible says something very simple. If you go with the Old Testament, it says the same thing. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And who? Your neighbor is yourself. Says so in the Old Testament. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, your neighbor is yourself. What's it say in the New Testament? God is love. Therefore, let us love one another. You see. And it goes on and on with this. Now, I want to explain a little bit about this thing in your brain. Information is not harmless. Every bit of information you take in and your brain records is going to affect your life in some way or another. I don't care what, if it's in college, if it's in a seminar, if it's in watching television, if it's reading books, whatever it is, every bit of information you take in is going to affect your life, your soul, and your body. You see. Now, it makes a difference, obviously, to your body what you put into your mouth. If you put something bad into your mouth, it's going to affect your body in an adverse way. Even if you take some medications into your mouth, they can affect you in a bad way. You got to be careful what you put in your mouth. I don't care what doctor said so. Are you listening to me? I don't believe the doctors, I believe Jesus. And before I ever go to one, I go to doctors occasionally, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be prayed up before I get there. Are you there? I'm going to be prayed up before I get there because they don't know everything. God knows everything. He's the one we need to talk to, you see. And so what happens is we have to be careful what we put into our body, but the same way we have to be extremely careful what we put into our brains and our minds and so forth. God made this for a good purpose. He made a brain for a good purpose. Now, Satan wants to do just the opposite. He wants to put in your life unloving attitudes. He wants to put into your life anger. He wants to put into your life resentment. He wants you to resent people, to be angry about people, to be mad at people, to be upset with people. And some people are that way all their lives. And what happens when you're angry and upset and have resentment? You start to grow something. But it's no longer green. You might be able to see it. I see it back there. It's black. And whenever you harbor anger and resentment, unforgiveness, hatred towards people, you are continuing to build things into your brain. But these things are negative. When you fill up your brain with negative thoughts, they have no life. In fact, they are death, you see. And so you can affect your body so that you die early by not only what you put into your body, but what you put into your brain. And that's why we have to be very careful. Now, I'm not saying that nobody needs sometimes medication to help them with their brain, but you got to be careful with that because it also will not only block the bad things, it'll block the good things from God. Are you listening to me? What I'm telling you is very important today because you build up all these black things, and the more you build up, the more negative things you're going to have into your life, the more you're likely to have an unhealthy body as well as mind and soul. And so all of us probably have a little bit of the green, which is life, and more or less some of the black, which is death. That's why the Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue, because when you repeat something or you say something, if it's bad, it's going to be built into these little receptors in your brain, and these receptors are going to grieve the Spirit of the living God within you, you see. And that's why this is so extremely important. It's important what movies you watch, what TV you go to. I remember they used to, back 100 years ago, they're always saying, oh man, watch these movies, they're dangerous. And people laughed at these Christians that said that. Well, there's some that aren't laughing today, and there's some not around. They're not around to laugh. Are you listening to me? Because we have to draw the line in our life of certain things that we do, because it will affect us in an adverse way. In other words, you can mess up your soul. I didn't say you were lost going to hell. I said you can mess up your soul, even after you become a Christian. No information is harmless. It's either plus or positive as far as God's concerned, or negative, rather, as far as God's concerned. If you harbor hate and envy, you ever see anybody like that? They don't want to be around anybody. They don't want to see anybody. They've been hurt. They're going to draw away from the world and hide in a cave somewhere, or their bedroom and not come out. I'm here to tell you they've built a bunch of black into their brain. You see. And the Bible calls that grieving the Spirit. What that means is you cut the Spirit off from giving the good information of God into your soul, and you're taking in all this information that's negative and black and dark, and it's creating a change in your brain structure and therefore affecting your life. You see. That's why, what were you going to say? Yes.
In your body.
Yes.
So what you're doing is you're squeezing out the life of your immune system, which fights all the bad things that are coming against your body.
Yeah, very good. I'm glad you brought that up. Because some people say, well, I seem to be sick all the time. Well, I'm not saying this is every case, but I'm saying sometimes it's because we're filled with all this negative, hatred, unforgiveness. And you can go through the whole line, resentment. In fact, God says it starts with anger, and then it goes to resentment, and then it becomes bitterness, and that's when it affects your life, because it keeps dripping that poison of resentment and bitterness into your life, and it's bound to affect you. And that's why they say a large percentage of people in hospitals and institutions are there because of psychological problems. You see. It's something that can be dealt with, I'm happy to say, and I'm going to show you how in a minute. But what happens is, then it brings in fear. That's a spirit of fear. And when you become afraid in life, you're in big trouble. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. If we're Christians, God is supposed to be, there's not supposed to be fear in the Lord. Fear is to be gone from your life, you see. Now, the enemy of man wants to keep us in darkness and end up with him. That's his plan. Now, I'm not saying Christians can be lost, but I'm just saying we can be lost as far as the plan of God is concerned, which is love. And if you don't know how to love people, then you're distorted from what God created you to be in the first place. In fact, some people run with it and keep so busy so they don't have to think about it. Aren't you glad you came today? But you see, fear forms bad branches in your brain and in that area. And they just keep building up and keep building up. And it looks good on the outside, but inside, Jesus, the Bible says, dead men's bones. Jesus told the Pharisees, oh, you look great on the outside, but inside, it's like a bunch of old dead bones. Because you put all this stuff into your mind and into your brain You have missed the plan of God in the first place. And sometimes when you get enough of this release of bad toxins into your body, then your body just quits. So it's extremely important to do something about this problem, and I'm going to tell you how to do it. Now listen carefully. They say, now I'm not an expert on this, I have no idea, but they said it takes 21 days to change something in your life. At least 21 days. When you try to change something, the first 4 days are the hardest. And then you go to the 21 days, and many times on the 22nd day you'll have victory. That's what they say. Anyone can change. The Bible calls these things strongholds. I want to show you where it says that. 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If you're still there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, let's... I'm trying to give you some information that's going to help your life. Some people say, well, I can be bitter if I want to. Yes, you can. You can just live in it as long as you can live, which probably won't be quite as long as otherwise. 2 Corinthians 10. And I want you to look at this because this has always been an interesting verse to me. And 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who is present and base among you, but being absent and bold towards you, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I present with that confidence with which I think to be bold with some. So he said, I'm going to tell you something you might not want to hear, is what Paul's saying there, basically, okay? And I might be saying some things you don't want to hear today, but I'm going to tell you, when you come down to the end and stand before Jesus, you're going to find out this is true, you see. And I'm not mad at anybody. In fact, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't tell you the truth. I'd just tell you what you wanted to hear, to be honest with you. Okay. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to God through the pulling down of strongholds. What's a stronghold? It's a stronghold is something like fear that's built a branch in your brain. That's a stronghold. And you can't just get rid of it by saying, okay, you're out of here, fear. It doesn't work that way. Now, let's go on. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now look at this. Bringing into captivity every thought. Every single thought that you think every day has to be bought into the obedience of Jesus Christ if you're going to have life. You see. And a lot of Christians just think they can just play around with things and then come to church and confess their sin and then go back and play around with things. But what they don't realize, they're building these things up in their brain, in their mind, in their being, and even into their body that's causing damage, that confessing it and going out and doing again isn't going to help. You see. Now, so you got to take charge of your thoughts, because even your thoughts build branches in your brain. Even your thoughts. And then you have to watch what comes out of your mouth, because life and death are in the power of the tongue. So you can speak life to your body, or you can speak death to your body, to your family, at work, wherever you're at play. You can do this. Now, these things are our strongholds. It's a problem. Now, how do you get rid of it? I'm going to explain that quickly. Now, as I can. All right. These things are strongholds. You just can't just toss them aside because they're like habits in your brain, if you want to put it that way. They're strongholds. Number one, you have to confess them to God and to man, if it's some man or person you harmed. You confess them to God and man if necessary. Then you repent. You stop that activity. You get away from the place. You get away from the people. You get away from whoever, if at all possible. And you repent. That means you change that habit or that thought or that addiction or whatever it is. You change that, and then to seal it up and start the green growth in your brain receptors, you start reaching out in the love of God. Love has to be involved. If you do not have love, you're not going to be like God. You say. You have to have forgiveness. You have to ask God to help you with that problem. What the enemy always does when you try to change something is bring up the past. You ever notice that? What the enemy when you try to change something, he'll bring up the past. You know, say you got a problem with anything. I'll just say drinking too much. And so you decide you're going to change it. So you get rid of all the booze and you quit going to the bars and you quit doing this. But then the enemy starts bringing up all that bad stuff, which you tried to drown in the booze in the first place. And so then you go back to it because, you see, you're listening to the enemy instead of God. And I'm going to explain how to override some of this. And let's go to quickly Romans 12:1. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, and we've said this many times, but this is one of the most important two verses in the Bible here. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, one of the ways you do that is meditating on the Word of God. And what that means is, if you can possibly do it in the morning, spend 15 to 30 minutes in the Word, go over it more than once if you need to, and then spend the whole rest of the day when you have a chance meditating and thinking on those scriptures. In other words, you're letting God rebuild the receptors in your brain. And so slowly, over a period of time, if I can get the right pen, if I can get it open, there we go, God will start going over that black with green. Are you listening to me? And he starts changing your mind, changing your thought system, and he starts renewing you and restoring you and changing your life to be conformed to the image of Jesus. I didn't say it wasn't work, it's work. You have to be serious about these things. And you don't just do a bunch of stuff to override everything so you don't have to think about it. Because that won't change anything, you see. The only thing that's going to change you is the Word of God, whether spoken, written, whatever it is. But you got to meditate on that thing and get into this. That's why it says, look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. You know, I've read this thing before, and I'll be telling you, first time I read it, it didn't mean too much. Chapter 4 and verse 8. I want you to get there because this is so important. If you want to change your life, you've got to get the Word of God in you. And you don't just get it by hearing it, you get it by speaking it, you get it by meditating on it. And here's what it says, Philippians 4:8. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any value, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you. In other words, you start meditating on the good things of God. You start meditating on the good things in your life. You start meditating on what God can do in your life, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can change my life. I don't have to be this way. I can start walking in health and wholeness of Jesus Christ. And I tell you, when you start doing this, listen to me, when you start doing this, if you could see into the unseen, the angels would be flying around. The angels would be going before you. The angels would be going with you. The angels would be all around you. But if you grieve the Holy Spirit, start speaking things that are not of God, walking in darkness, the angel just stand by and just have to wait. And there you go on your little way. I'm just going to do it my way. Well, you go ahead, but you're going to do it without God. I didn't say God isn't in you. If you're a Christian, he's in you, but you can still walk in your own way, and the angels can just fold their arms and say, and just twiddle their little thumbs, if that's what they do, and just wait until you start getting in the Word of God, meditating on Jesus. Nothing more important than what I'm telling you right now. This is called walking in love. When you're walking in love, you can expect the angels to go in with you to the hospital and touch that person you're praying for. Are you listening to me? You can't expect the angels to be going with you when you go to that relative and tell them about Jesus. Hallelujah. You see, I can hear the flutter of the wings, hallelujah, because I'm walking in love. I'm walking in the love of God. You hear those wings? They're just all around, hallelujah. And guess what happens when you got to come to church with a whole bunch of people walking in love? I mean, there's going to be so much noise from the wings you won't be able to hear. Maybe that'd be good. You wouldn't be able to hear the preacher. That might be a good thing. But anyway, are you getting this? I'm not doing this, just be doing it. God's keeping me alive to do this. And I know it. You see, that's the issue. You know, this is serious business. This is life or death. Christians are supposed to be different than the world. Come on. You see. And so, we want to get our brains cleaned out. You see what I'm saying? We got to get this clutter out of us. And we got to start being serious about the things of God. The only thing that's going to clean it out is the Word of God. And you got to not only read it, you got to speak it. Hallelujah. I don't care if you have to repeat it 100 times. I used to have to write when I was in school, I will not talk. I will not talk. I will not talk. I will not talk. I had to write that 100 times. And don't you know, it took about 2 weeks before I started talking, because my hand was worn out. I know none of you ever had that problem. You understand? But that's the way it is now. I'm almost finished, but your life's just beginning. Are you listening? You're going to have to leave here and decide what you're going to do with your life. Because I'm telling you, you haven't used 0.01% of your brain yet. Oh, I'm just so tired. I don't think I can learn anymore. Give me a break. You can learn when you're 100 years old. You know, some of the people, they quit learning back when they were in their 40s or something. Said, well, I guess I know it all. Yeah, your life really shows that one. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Flee evil. The Bible, you know, just very simple. He says, if you're about to commit sexual sin, run! I mean, it's not complicated. Run as fast as your little feet will take you. Get out of there. Turn off that dial. You see. There's no excuse today to listen to bad stuff. There's all kinds of Christian programming, and we have our own station there. Come on. There's no excuse to watch junk and pay for it besides. I mean, that's amazing. Today, you know, you can spend $25 at the movies watching garbage. It's amazing. And Christians do it. Run! You going to listen to God or you going to listen to some movie producer? I mean, come on. We haven't got... Can you imagine standing before Jesus? And Jesus said, well, you used about that much of your brain. That I gave you to be one of the most creative persons that was ever born. I don't care what your situation is. You see. And if you've been born in better circumstances, you have more responsibility. You see. And so it makes a difference. What are you going to grow in your brain that's going to affect your life as life or death? What are you going to grow in there? What are you going to put in there this afternoon? What are you going to put in there tonight? You see. It starts now. That's why we repeated that little confession 3 times. Don't you believe you confess that about 100 times, you'd begin to think, man, this is pretty good. And we need to get in the Word of God and get in the Word of God. I find out every time I read something I've read about 100 times, I learn something on 101 times. The Word of God is never to the place where you can't learn something, because you couldn't learn it throughout all eternity. We'll be learning the Word of God. You see. And so what I'm saying to you is life and death is in the power of the tongue. Now I expect, not because of me, but because the angels are buzzing around this place today, I think things are going to happen during this invitation. I believe God wants to do some things. It's no problem for God to touch somebody and heal them just like that. That's called a miracle. It's no problem for God to do it, but I'm going to tell you, He's not likely to do it if you've made no effort to clean up your brain and clean up your mind and clean up your life. Why should He? Make you healthy to do evil? That's not God. He wants to get you in a place where He said, oh, can't you imagine if this many people came on Sunday and they've been meditating in the Word of God and they've been walking in love all week long, what would happen on this Sunday morning? There'd be an explosion of God in this place, you see. Let's stand before the Lord.